Living Theology Friends, 1114. Valleyon Combs for April the 3rd, 2011. This is the 13th edition of the Church series, today dealing with sanctification for saints. Last week we saw that the Bible teaches Christians are saints and not sinners, those who practice sin. So if Christians indeed are saints, why do they still sin? The letter looked at three aspects of salvation: justification, sanctification, and glorification, and at the end gave a diagram showing salvation. There's an article on this website that examines salvation in some detail. It's titled Salvation, and it's under http://livingtheology.com/articles.htm. So that's about 24 pages, if I remember right, but if you want some details, I recommend that. Justification can be termed instantaneous sanctification, in that by double imputation, Christians are given the righteousness of Jesus Christ in their account before God so that they can go with confidence to the throne of grace, Hebrews 4:16. But while totally righteous before God, Christians will continue to battle with their sin nature the remainder of their lives on earth. The Bible teaches that total righteousness cannot be achieved while living on earth, but each day will bring Christians closer to that goal. This progressive sanctification can be visualized with a diagram that I have on the written letter that you received. To a lot of you, it's a diagram that I've shown many times. It shows the Adam nature decreasing and the Christ-like nature increasing as we walk in the world. At the top left, I have Ephesians 2:6, saying that God raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, that states that Christians are given instantaneous sanctification immediately upon justification as they are spiritually seated in heavenly places with Jesus. At the top right side is 2 Corinthians 5:8. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and at home with the Lord. This tells us that when we die, we will be at home with the Lord. But between these two extremes, there's a battle while Christians live in the world. At the bottom of the diagram is a zero indicating the time when Christians are born again, and their time on earth, T, increases until their departure time, which is our death. Now, this zero could be at any time in your life, when you were justified, born again. For me, that was in 1970, the fall of 1970. So I have been involved in this struggle for 40 years. Everybody else is somewhat different. Initially, Christians have 100% sin nature imputed from Adam and 0% Christ nature, as indicated by the left vertical axis of the diagram. Now, as Christians live in the world, they're gradually defeating the sin nature and increasing the Christ nature. There'll be times when the sin nature peaks and the Christ nature accordingly drops, but the Christian will be disciplined by God, repent of that sin, and continue on the sanctification path. Thus, a Christian cannot practice sin. On the right vertical axis, there is 0% sin nature and 100% Christ nature indicated. Now, this 100% Christ nature cannot be attained in this life. Sanctification for His people was a driving force in the ministry of Jesus Christ, so it is extremely important. John 17:19, "And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth." Hebrews 13:12, "Therefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people through His own blood, suffered outside the gate." Ephesians 5:25b-27, "As Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for her, that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that He might present to Himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless." In His high priestly prayer, Jesus prayed for the Father to enforce our sanctification. John 17:17, "Sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth." Sanctification is not optional, but is a continuous process of repentance and commitment to holiness. Those not interested in pursuing sanctification probably have not experienced justification, and so will not see the Lord. Hebrews 12:14, "Pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord." Sanctification is a necessary result of God having chosen his people before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1, 4-6, to be justified by him. They were chosen to pursue sanctification, 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. Sanctification is a synergistic work of God with a justified person. God chose his people for this purpose, 1 Corinthians 1:30. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And it involves being pure in every possible manner, Romans 6, 12-13. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lust, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. In 1 Thessalonians 4:7, for God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. Sanctification prepares us to properly witness to those who ask questions about our salvation. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Even though we struggle every day with our remaining sin nature, we have Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Christians are free from the wrath of God, John 3:36, and gladly struggle in this aspect of our salvation with the Holy Spirit, providing the necessary grace for working out our salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians 2:12. So I close this, as I did last week, with a question. Are you a saint or a sinner? If one is a saint, then when sin occurs, that person will be convicted by the Holy Spirit, repent, and continue the struggle toward righteousness. If one is a sinner, somebody who practices sin, then that person has never been justified, will not receive the loving discipline of God to overcome sin, Hebrews 12:8, and will never see him. So praise the Lord for the struggle with sin, and gladly receive his discipline. Revelation 3:19, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. May God bless each of you.